welcome back to the Location Independence Podcast. I'm so happy to have Robert again here with us. Robert, hi, nice to see you again.
Thank you for having me.
So today we're kicking off a really exciting series for me. This is a 12-part series, and maybe it'll be more. I don't know. This is a 12-part series on starting a location independent business. This is for people who know they want to run their own business. This is not for people looking for freelance jobs. This is not for people looking for remote work. This is for business owners. If you think you might want to be a business owner, listen, because this is the things that we're going to talk about. If they get you excited, then you're on to something. If they make you like your skin crawl or they give you a stomach ache, you don't want to start your own business. Don't do it. It's for, I tell people all the time, running your own business is for the sick. It is a disease. It is something I can't help myself. I must have businesses, not just one business, multiple businesses. I can't help. Robert, how many businesses do you have today?
5.
Essentially, I have 3 businesses and I had 3 more technically, and I have another one that's
incubating.
Yes, it happens. And people say, like, well, why, you know, which is your actual business? No, they're all my businesses. I am pushing 3 businesses along simultaneously. Like, I prefer this over social events. Okay, so if you're thinking about how you're going to start your first business, I will say there is no one right way to do it. There is, and I will tell you the story of how I started my first real successful business. And Robert, also your story is fascinating. But first, I would say, if you're from ground zero, you have no idea what you want to do, look at your strengths and skills. Look at the things that you already know how to do, that you know that you already love, and see if you can't get paid to do it. For example, do you love playing video games? Did you know you can get paid to play video games? Can you build a company of people who get paid to play video games and sell their services? This is like something that you could, I don't love to play video games. I'm not getting into video games.
It's a good idea.
Maybe it'll be Robert's 6th business.
No.
Robert, how did you get into your first business?
I was with a friend of mine who got out of NASCAR tech. I dropped out of high school, but I had some friends that stayed friends, you know, as they went through high school. And one of my friends, Nick, got back from NASCAR tech and he learned how to fix cars. And I just thought about, you know, I said, hey, people need their car fixed. It's very expensive and it's inconvenient. So I said, is there a better way? So I knew nothing about cars, but I knew that as a consumer that, hey, there's probably a better way. Like, what if we come to you? What if we save you money? What if we pay the mechanics more money? And so that's how Proficient Auto was started. And I went onto Craigslist and we put an ad out, and that was the start of the success of Proficient Auto. And now I was 16 years old. It's my oldest portfolio company.
Wow. And what is a portfolio company for people who don't know?
So I have a portfolio, and in my portfolio, I own a majority, or if not 100% of all my companies. I have two companies now that I have co-founders in. And so what I do is I have those entities in a portfolio that are combined. And so they're separate entities, but they're in one portfolio, just like a stock, right? That's what they are. They're stocks. I just own 100% of the stocks. And I manage the companies within my portfolio, the stocks within my portfolio.
Okay. More of an advisor. That actually leads the next question. Should you have a co-founder?
My dad said it best. Partners are for dancing. And as a man who's started many businesses and in some cases started out with partners, most of the time I end without a partner. I always leave in the most economical and fair manner. But the reason that I leave most of the time is because the value transaction is not equal. And so I bring more to the table than some of these partners. Because I discount my ability sometimes in the beginning or my time, I try to bring someone in and give them enough skin in the game to where they can act on my part, and I can be the visionary and guide the business and create the opportunities and network. But then a lot of times the other party, they don't put as much into the business as I do. And so what I'll say is that you can go farther, faster together. You can still go far and you can still get there to the destination, but it might take longer. So I don't say that you shouldn't have a business partner or a co-founder. What I do say is you must be very, very careful of how you bring a co-founder business partner in. There's 2 different scenarios. 1, you both came up with the idea, or 2, you came up with the idea and brought someone else on. If you both came up with the idea and it's 50-50, then it's hard to say, let me have 1% extra so I can have a, you know, majority shareholder. It's hard if you get in arguments and you can't come to a conclusion. And that's just the risk you take getting into business with someone that you're 50-50, you know, equal partners with. However, if you start a business and you want to bring someone in and incentivize them with enough equity to make it worth their while, you can do 49%, but do it on a vesting period. So vexed it for 3 to 5 years. So over that time, they either getting bits of it. For me, I don't do bits. I do it all. You either get it all or nothing. So the vesting periods from here are between 3 and 5 years. And in that 3 and 5 years, you don't get any equity. But as soon as you hit the milestone of 3 to 5 years, that's when you get all of the equity. And what that does for me, it allows me to build the business without taking the risk of giving someone equity that's not going to perform. But if they do perform, I give them the equity. But it's if they're performing, then I'm doing well too. So it's a good partnership.
Yeah, I guess I built my first business. Well, not my first business, but the second business. Same with you. I actually started with a partner. I built most of it without a partner, and then I brought on a partner at the end. And would I do it again? Do I prefer to not have partners? I prefer to not have partners for some reasons, and I prefer to have partners for other reasons. And I guess, honestly, this is the same as the life question. Do you prefer to be single? Or do you prefer to be married and or with a life partner? And there's pros and cons to both. I will say that having a partner means that first you have someone that you can lean on. I really appreciated kind of like my weekly catch-ups with my partner, where we would just, sometimes we would just vent like what it is to be a business owner, because sometimes people look at you, I don't know, especially as a small business owner, they look at you like you the head of a major corporation, and you're like, I'm literally in it here with you. We're a 40-person company, you know? But like at the same time, then sometimes there's like, I'm putting in everything and you're putting in nothing. And this is where having some of those like really practical, I do a 3-year vesting schedule always. And that also goes for me, because I could get into a business and decide after 2 years that I don't want to do it anymore. So the way that I do it is there's usually the first 6 months is the cliff. And this is where you get nothing if you leave before 6 months. And then after that, you get a portion of equity. So if you're meant to get 25% and you have a 5-year vesting schedule, every year you would get 5%. And every portion of a year, you would get a portion of that 5% of that. And that means that like if you walk away after 3 years, 3 years is still a lot of time building a business. So if you walk away after 3 years, you get, 3/5 of that, 3/5 of that total 25%, so 15%. But you're not getting the full 25% because you weren't in it for the full 5 years it was planned. What would you say were some of your initial challenges when you started the business, and how did you get over these?
Yeah, I would say the initial challenge for anybody that's starting their own business is going to be mindset, right? It's going to be the thoughts of, will I make this happen? How long will it take? What will it look like? How much do I charge? What type of clients do I get? How do I get those clients? And these are all the questions that you're going to ask yourself if you're starting your own business. And a lot of it, you're not going to know the answer. And you can go to mentors and you can get feedback, and that's fine too. But again, there is no right way but your way, and your way becomes the way if you learn and grow from your experiences. And so your job is to go execute. You want to mitigate your risk as much as possible. So you want to take insight from as much, as many sources as possible. So whether it's talking to other people that are owners in the industry, talking to clients in the industry, or just talking to business owners in general, get as much insight as you can so that when you're in this, when you dive into the sea of, unknown, you have a few tools that will help you get through. But it's mindset is the main thing that you need to work on. Think about it from this perspective. Like, you work at a company right now, potentially, and that company might be worth X amount of dollars. And there's a CEO that's paid X amount of dollars, and you sell a product or a service, and you are an integral part of that product or service being sold in some cases. In some cases, you might just be like customer support, but that's still a part of the product or service being sold. And so if you look at it and say, hey, well, I go to work for 40 hours a week and I do XYZ at my job, and it leads to XYZ sales, because a company can't pay you unless they make money off you. You have to make them more money than they pay you. Otherwise, there's no reason to pay you. Now, some jobs require, you just need to have, I need a cleaner. Is a cleaner going to make me money? No, but I need to have a place clean so people will come to work and we can make more money, right? But then employees are looked at as like, how much are they going to make and how much am I paying them? And so if you're at a corporation, 9 times out of 10, you're making the company more than you're making yourself. So just imagine that. Say if I applied that same time, effort, and emotion to my own business, wouldn't I make enough money to pay myself? I do the same thing in my company and they make enough money to pay me and pay themselves, right? So you have to understand that you can go, if you apply your efforts to the right place or places, you're going to be successful. It's a mathematical equation. You have to be smart, and not necessarily smart. You just have to use common sense. Video games, you can play video games and then you can say, this is great. And then you'd be like, hey, I'm getting paid $50 an hour to play video games. I'll go find someone who didn't have this connection And I'll tell them that it's $35 an hour to play video games, and I'll get paid $50 an hour. And then I'll build up 10 of those or 20 of those people around the world because it's remote. And then I have my own business. And then I just go to video gamers and I say, hey, I've got a team of video gamers that will play your video game 10 hours a day. Pay me $50 an hour. That's how easy the job is. Now that you have the mindset, and just using
you're
that.
You're making $150 out of them doing their work.
Exactly. And you're doing it remotely, so there is no overhead of an office space. There's no health insurance because they're contractors. There's no form of transportation required because they probably sit at home and play from home.
Play video games.
Play video games, which nothing wrong with that. More
the ultimate introvert job.
Yeah. And so just being smart and applying that. So if you go to a new market, I like to go to new markets because then you become a shark in the sea rather than a fish in the sea of sharks, right? Like in the United States or in London or Paris. And that's not all the case. Like Dubai, I love Dubai because I can be a shark and there's a bunch of sharks there, but I can be a bigger shark. And I'm not trying to be cocky about it. It's just, I do business better than they do over there. And I'm told every day by everybody doing business over there that I do business better than they do. So that's just me doing business. But it just so happens because the market, it may be a very luxurious and wealthy market, but there's still lots of bottlenecks there. There's still a lot of disconnects. So I chose Dubai for that reason. China. I chose China because no one in the United States could understand how to do business with China. So I was like, I'll go figure it out. And then I'll charge for access to that. So I said, hey, I'll go start a Chinese company and then I'll get an ICP, which allows me to access the internet. Meaning like if I have a website and I have an ICP, I can be seen behind the firewall. There's a firewall, literally. China has a firewall. I just sent one of my friends and contacts a link from one of our websites yesterday. She's in China. She couldn't see it because it's hosted in the United States. So just by having an ability to host properties, host products, services in China, that made me valuable. Cost me a couple $100,000 to get it done. But then I was able to go make a lot more money than that, selling access to the United States and Dubai to get into China. So, you know, like you can do business. I didn't know anything about the things I was doing. I just knew about, you know, network is net worth, like we spoke about. And the whole point of network is net worth is like, I know how to, my first business was auto repair. Right? Well, really real estate, but let's just say auto repair. That was my first main business that I was able to start and build a team with. Did I know anything about auto repair? No, but I knew someone in my network that knew how to fix cars. And I knew that fixing cars was a necessity. So I said, let me repackage this or rebrand this, and then we'll offer it to the open market. And then as I got older and more successful and more networked, my friend over here needs 1,000 kilos of gold. And my friend over here is connected to the president of Ghana and they can get me gold. Oh, well, I've never sold gold before. And normally gold is a very dangerous industry to be in, especially if you're buying it in Africa. But I'm doing business with the president of Ghana. And then I've got a gold buyer who's a half owner in the refinery in Dubai. Well, I've never sold gold before, but now best believe I'm transacting gold as a middleman, but I'm making money. And it's all because of my network. I knew someone over here that needed something over here. And I just connected them and found a way to monetize that.
I want to interject here. Sorry. This is something that I think women are afraid to do. And as a woman, I could say that out. And maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like most men are like, well, obviously there must be something in it for me. And most women are like, well, I'll let you guys connect. And like, you know, I hope you do well and thank me later. You know, make money, women. Guys, how do we pay for our very expensive face care products? Make money. You understand? So sorry to interrupt. I just want to say, like, this is one of those things, like, I thought about it. And I was like, as a woman, would I have done that? No, my instinct would be to make the connection and to walk away.
Yeah, well, that's most people's instinct in the beginning. It's always been my instinct. And there are some times where you need to do that. There's some times where you just need to make the connection and be happy to see two people connect and make money and be happy. But then there's other times it's business as usual. So figure out those scenarios in your life and apply accordingly.
Definitely. Okay, so initial challenges. We talked about in the first one that was not recorded. But I started my first business was an interior design company. And it was a partner, like, it didn't work out. My second business, the Airbnb management company, something that I did for 2 years before I actually made it a service. And when I launched, I knew that I needed to be available full time. I knew that I couldn't take another job, but I didn't know, like, there's this period that you're not making enough money to pay your bills and you're still working full time. I was working 100 hours a week, not making enough money to pay my bills because I didn't have enough money to leverage for other staff and all of the things that you need to do to grow a business. What did I do? At the time, I took food stamps and I put everything on my credit card. I couldn't get a loan. It was the only thing I had access to, food stamps, card, and Airbnb, my couch. And this is how I very scrappy bootstrap pulled together my first business until I had enough clients that I could, and actually I'm going to show this is a, maybe you can see it. I don't know. This bracelet right here is something that I bought for myself. It's a luxury brand. It's a diamond bracelet, a golden diamond bracelet. And it's the first luxury item that I was able to afford myself. And I bought it and I wear it every day as a reminder of the hustle that I went through to get my first business off the ground. And that for the first time ever, I could buy something that I didn't need, that I just wanted. And it was the most exciting moment ever for me. It was really like I finally got somewhere. And so first challenge is, I would say people think like, okay, well, you did it. You lived on food stamps and you Airbnb your couch. You have to understand, I was terrified that I wasn't going to be able to pay rent, terrified that I wouldn't have enough money to buy enough food. There was an instance where my dog was sick. And I, like, if you know me, you know that I love dogs. And my dog, she was a poodle. She lived to be 19 years old. She had a great life, but she was sick and I couldn't afford medicine for her. And it like brought me to tears because this dog is suffering. She's under my care and I can't give her the medicine she needs. Basic medication to not be in pain right now. And I, bless her heart, my aunt wrote me a check, put the check in the mail so that I could buy the medication for my dog. But it is scary. And how did I overcome that? I am grateful for a woman who gave me the best advice ever, which is what you had said, Robert, was so brilliant. You need to feel whether or not you actually have stability. You need to believe that you have stability. You need to believe that you have a foundation. And this woman told, like, I was freaking out. I was like, I'm going to be homeless by next month if I don't get enough clients. And she said, okay, so tell me, what happens if you become homeless? She said, are you sleeping on the streets? And I said, no, of course, I'll sleep with a friend. She said, okay, so your friends won't let you be homeless. And I said, well, okay, but it'd be really embarrassing. And she said, would they complain about it? And I said, well, no, they would want to help me because I would do the same for them. She said, okay, so your friends are going to help you because you've helped them and they're going to be happy to have helped you. And I said, well, yeah. And she said, well, does that sound that bad? And I said, actually, no, it doesn't sound so bad now that you say it out loud. You really need to go through this. What will happen? Like build, if you don't have actual security, build the security. Like, and it's in your mind. It's really in your mind.
Built. So there's first thought, second thought. You can't control the first thought, but you can control the second thought. Now, most people won't try to control the second thought. The first thought will become the second, third, and fifth thought. However, if you control the first thought with the second thought, you can get out of it. And mindset is everything. That is the biggest obstacle to getting out and starting a business on your own is mindset. Because the mind, the first thought is going to tell you that you're going to fail. It's not going to work. How are you going to pay your bills? How are you going to take care of your kids if you have them? How are you going to have a dating life or have time for your partner if you have one? And so that's the first thought. The second thought. So like, I love this example that you just used because it's the perfect analogy for first thought, second thought. So the first thought was like, oh, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to fix my dog? How am I going to do anything? The second thought was, which with your aunt or your friend brought back. Okay. So the second thought could have been all the first thoughts, but because you had your friend there, and now most people don't have a friend like this there at all times. So you have to be that friend, but we'll get to that. So because you had your first thought that was negative, your friend came in and gave you supporting data to why the second thought should be positive. The first thought is an innate reaction. Every one of us are human and we're going to have this innate reaction. It doesn't matter who you are. If I drop food on the ground, a dog is going to eat it unless they've been trained. Okay. So unless you're trained as a human, you're going to fall into this first thought being a shitty thought. It's your job to change that shitty thought into a positive thought with the data. Use the data. Hey, so what if I fail? I've got friends' couch to stay on. Okay, well, now I'm not sleeping in the streets. That's not so bad. Oh, well, how am I going to eat? Well, my friends will probably give me food because I've given them food before. Okay, we're fine there. Okay. And then when you have stability again, because at that point you'll have stability, even if it's given to you by someone else, you'll have a stable environment to grow upon. So now while you're laying on your friend's couch and eating their food, go get a job.
I will say though, and this is where the hustle comes in. This is where if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you need to have this like when so they ask people, are you fight or flight? I wish I could say that I was flight. I wish I could say that if I was in a dangerous situation, I would just run away. but I won't.
Like when the situation is dangerous, when things are looking really dicey, and this is when I come alive. This is when I'm fully focused. This is when I'm like, okay, I've got this, whatever it is. I laugh because I've been twice I've been robbed where I caught the guy. And what did I do? The first guy I hit, I caught someone pickpocketing me. I turned around. I looked at him. I grabbed the things out of his hand and I hit him with them. And the second time I caught someone breaking into my home. And what did I do? I screamed at him. And we sat and we had like a 3-minute conversation. And I told him which way to leave the building. And I was like, and then he was like, well, can I just sleep on the roof? And I said, no, you can't sleep on the roof. You have to go. You must go. And he said, you're crazy. And I said, I know. Because do I have fight or flight? I have fight. And probably the best entrepreneurs have fight. Now, have I trained myself to also have flight? Yes. Yes, I have. Speaking of training, when I'm in a situation that I know the best thing to do is just to walk away, I walk away. And, you know, like, this is less of a scary situation, but I was at a party and the cops showed up. And it wasn't even a crazy party. It was a karaoke party. Actually, it was quite nerdy. So at a karaoke party, someone calls the cops.
No alcohol.
None of it was alcohol. There was alcohol. People were pretty drunk. But, you know, the cops show up. And some guy starts a fight with the police, and I'm just watching, like, and I said, do I get involved? And I just, no. I stood on the other side of the street and I watched.
I watched the whole thing. Let them deal with that. You know, so you do, I will say, like, this is, I'm grateful for growth and maturity, because I've learned when to, like, really, like, turn on my brain and, like, just walk away from the situation. But when I'm operating on instinct, it's fight, because I know that that's, like, I get that adrenaline rush and I'm fully focused. And so we're out of time. But to get it started, this may have been a bit more of a meandering conversation. But to get it started, I will say there's one other thing that I want to add. And that is, if there's something that you think you want to do, dive into it. Don't start the business first. Get into the details of the business. Read all of the material you can on it. Learn about it. Learn about the problems. Call people. If somebody has advice or input to give you, talk to them, because it could be that, like, 10 hours, 15 hours, 3 weeks into it, you're already bored. And if that happens, you know that you don't want to do this for the next 5 to 10 years. My piece of advice, don't get into something that you can't stomach for the next 5 to 10 years, because you're really married to it. Like, it's those 100-hour work weeks have to be enjoyable. Otherwise, you're...
Ideally, they're enjoyable, but not all the time will they be enjoyable. And the other aspect is, like, don't give up too early. Everybody gives up too early. Don't be everybody, right? You know, a lot of times, man, I remember the days back in my auto repair business, like, I'd be driving the mechanic around. We'd be out until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning fixing car. And not even getting paid because whatever reasons. And there is a lot. It took a lot to get up the next day and do it again, right? But fast forward 16 years later, if I didn't keep getting up and doing it again, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. Now, did I know where I'll be at today, 16 years ago? I don't. I didn't know. I had ideas. I had aspirations, but I didn't know that I would be at where I'm at today. And I don't know where I'll be at tomorrow. But bottom line is, if I didn't start and if I gave up, then I wouldn't be as far as I am today and where I'll go tomorrow. And so that's the biggest piece of advice I can give you outside of mindset. Like, you need to have the right mindset, and you need to adjust your mindset according to the data. And then you also need to not give up.
And I would say one final thing to your earlier point, make sure you have the right network. Because I'll tell you, the friends that I had when I started my first business, nobody told me to keep going. Everybody told me to quit. Everybody told me to take the job. Everybody said, what are you doing? Go take a job. Like, how can you live like this, selling food stamps, renting your couch, go get a job? And I didn't do it. I'll tell you the reason why I didn't do it, because I had other friends who were entrepreneurs who were a few steps ahead of me. And they said, Michelle, you're going to be okay. Actually, I'll tell you one very funny story. I'm really off to go. One of my best mentors when I started was a Tinder date. I met this guy on Tinder. We went out. I knew on the first date that it was never going to be, but we stayed in touch. We stayed friends. He gave me so much advice. I am grateful to this day for how much help he gave me as I started my business. And there was a point in my business that I was really suffering financially. And he even gave me, like, part-time work, like 10 hours a week. And, like, have those people in your life, because
I promise you, when you get two more steps ahead, you're going to want to help those people also. Like, this is the economy of it. This is like, this is what you do. They help you. You will help them. And have those people, like, don't get rid of all of your friends. Like, if, you know, if I love her, but my mom, even my mother, I think 5 years into my business still was like, why don't you, I don't understand. Why can't she get a job? And at that point I was kind of a full team. This is what you're talking about, mom. I'm not going to get a job. I have a fully functioning business. You know, like, you don't need to remove these people from your life, but maybe don't take their advice either. If they're not living the life that you want, don't take their advice.
No, have a healthy medium. So have those type of people that are going to doubt you and the naysayers, and then have the supporters, the ones who say you're going to get it done no matter what. You need both those. You can't just have one. So you have one that's negative, then you're always going to be negative. You have only one that's positive, then you're going to always be positive and not understand the negative. You need to have both aspects, and you need to delineate which way your mind goes, not let other people tell you which way your mind should go.
Yeah. So key takeaways, getting your first business off the ground. Make sure, like, look at your strengths and abilities, things that you love. Make sure that you can do it for a little while. Listen, if you can do it 10 hours, 3 weeks, you probably can keep going. Make sure you have the right network to help you get started. Thank you, everyone. It was a pleasure.
It's always
my time. We'll see you next time.